Welcome to today's broadcast of Lead to Serve, a leadership podcast with Ed Taylor.
Hey, welcome to today's edition of the Lead to Serve podcast. It's episode 308, and we're so glad that you've subscribed, that you're joining us every week. This is the podcast where we're learning how to serve well, because as we learn the servant heart of Jesus, it's going to help us to lead well. And that's the name, you know, Lead to Serve. We just want to grow and be useful and faithful. We're going through this resource that we developed called Sure and Steady. And it's just been a more of an outline and a highlight of different topics to talk about, different topics that help us grow in being a better leader, being a better servant. You know, that is the heart of the podcast. We want to all serve the Lord in a capacity that honors Him and blesses Him. And as we serve well, we're going to lead well. And today, we have a special guest to dialogue with over these topics that are before us today, Pastor Bob Claycamp with us. He is a part of the Poimen Ministries, senior pastor for 38 years. I mean, even though that role is not his, he is a senior pastor among us, a man of wisdom, a man that exemplifies Christ's character. So Bob, welcome to the program.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
You just finished coming back from Phoenix, celebrating 40 years of pastoral ministry, kind of going back to the time you spent in Phoenix all the way till today. Congratulations.
Yes, yeah, it's by the grace of God. I was 30 years old when I started, and just really am realizing how much I didn't know and how the grace of God comes and fills in and brings people along to help in the whole overall process.
So a question just came to mind because we didn't script this. We're just talking right here in the studio. And a question came to mind, and I wonder how you would answer it. If you today, Bob Claycamp, with all the experience and what the Spirit has taught you and what you know in the Word, was able to sit down with the Pastor Bob in Phoenix, year number one. You just finished year number one, and you're heading into year number two. What kind of counsel, what would you tell him? What singular thing do you think did Bob need to know the most as he ventured into year number two of serving the Lord?
What I would tell a young Bob Claycamp is spend more time with the people and not so much trying to be exact on every nuance of the scripture. I remember following so much the pattern that I had seen others do, and so I was just mimicking their pattern and not really communicating effectively with the people, as well as just getting involved in their lives and loving them for who they were. I think I was so concerned about producing something that looked like a church and yet having really no idea what I was doing.
Do you think, maybe this is the beginning of our podcast today, now this might be developed something, I think, am I hearing not only wanting to conform to a mold or an expectation, even if it's self-imposed, but did it also include a fear of man? Were you trying to impress people, or were you just trying to impress yourself? What did that look like when you were wanting every nook, every detail of theologically, or what did that look like?
Well, I think there was a very strong need for approval because I was quite insecure in what I was doing. I hadn't spent any time as an assistant pastor anywhere learning what it would look like. I mean, I came out of a youth ministry dealing with street people for 8.5 years, and then got thrown into the business world selling insurance, and yet how to just come alongside people and love them and care for them, tending the sheep. So focused on feeding the lambs and feeding the sheep that tending became, I think it suffered.
Do you think, was the approval from other, you know, because you were at Calvary Chapel, you're one of the first Calvary Chapels in Phoenix. Were you the first Calvary in Phoenix?
No, there was three of us that were the first ones, yeah.
And you're within this family of churches we know as Calvary Chapel. Was it the approval of Pastor Chuck? Was it the approval of the other pastors? Was it in a personal affirmation? What approval were you seeking?
I think all of the above, really. You know, God God uses not many wise, not many noble, not many mighty, and I was one of those for sure. And yet, it really showed the grace of God, because God takes us as we are, and then He doesn't leave us there. He'll work through the trials. He'll work through the crisis that comes up. He'll work through conflicts, just to show you about yourself and just about the nature of what ministry is like. And it was, you know, quite humbling, really.
Yeah. You know, I faced the same insecurities in those early days. I faced the wanting to be approved, wanting to be accepted, wanting to be known as a church planner that succeeded, whatever success. My definition of success and failure has changed dramatically over the years. I don't think failure is what we assess it always. And I definitely don't think success is what I thought it was. And it took a quite a few painful experiences to reveal to me internally. Like, you could tell me, I'm sure I was told dozens of times, I read books constantly, and I know that other authors have told me, Bible studies have told me, the way we were discipled through the teaching of Pastor Chuck, Pastor Jeff, we're taught these things, but they're lived out. And in living them out, I find that it's painful circumstances that really bring about a sense of, you know what, I'm here, and what God's looking for in my life is just faithfulness.
Yes.
And faithfulness among the people. I think that that's one of the emphases that the Lord gave me early on here as a pastor, is that the gifting is pastor teacher. And we come from a teaching movement.
Right.
So teaching gets very highly emphasized, as if, hey, I pray and I teach and that's what I do. And that's good. I do too. But the ministries with the people, the ministries out of the building, the ministry is out of the pulpit.
Yeah. And just to encourage other pastors to say, listen, you take care of the people and you love them as Jesus loves you, and you just let it be what it's going to be, rather than forcing it to look like you think it should look like. I know we have had those conversations, especially over in the UK, where we just were for the past month, and encouraging those pastors not to try to fit a form that is in their mind of what a church looks like, but just to rejoice in the people that are showing up, pour into them. And actually, I gave them a word picture of them being like a foster parent to those kids, mm-hmm. because they were so concerned that, well, you know, I've been here for 15 years and people come, people go, try to raise up leaders, and then they move away or they get something stuck sideways in their craw. And now, you know, I'm back to just doing everything. And I'm going, look, you're a foster parent. When you have foster kids come into your house, you don't withhold your love because you know they're going to be gone after a while. You pour your life into them to be a change agent, because you know that you have a window of time to make a difference.
Yeah, I think that's a great picture, because people do come and go, and you have them for a season. Here in Aurora, I was thinking of this when I moved to Aurora. I didn't understand the whole military family aspect, mm-hmm. where Buckley, you know, Space Force Base here is in town, and I would only see families here for a couple of years, and they just disappear. I didn't always get the chance to find out what happened, until finally that pattern was repeated. But a family said, hey, we're moving on. And what do you mean you're moving on? Well, we have orders. I mean, what do you mean you have orders? Who's ordering you to go? And talking through of, well, you know, we've done our 2 years here, and now we're heading off to this new ministry or this new base and this new city and this new state. And you do have them. And that developed the thinking of, because serving in the church, again, I want to reintroduce Pastor Bob Claycamp. He's been pastoring, he's been serving the Lord for many years. He's been a pastor for 40 of those years, and he's our guest on this podcast. I suspect he'll also be the guest on the next podcast, because we were going to go through some of the book here, but I think we're going to do that next time. Instead, talk about some of the things that are on Pastor Bob's heart when it comes to ministry. We want to hear from him, because it's not just pastoral ministry. So you listen and you go, well, there's two pastors talking. And of course, if you're a pastor, then you're like, this is for me. But the principle is serving. And so we have a role in the church as pastor, lead pastor. Now Bob hasn't been a lead pastor for how many years?
Well, probably two, because I was a lead pastor over in England for almost 7 years.
So for 2 years, you've been serving in a different role.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And actually, it's been quite refreshing because you don't have to deal with the real super difficult stuff. But I think my time in England of 7 years after pastoring for 29 years really opened my eyes to some of the Americanized church mindset that just doesn't work in other countries. And I was trying to do it faithfully. God was thinking, hey, I know what to do. I've been doing this for 29 years. You know, just trust me. We're going to do this. And yet, there is a different culture mindset. There is a breaking down of my own reality of what does Jesus expect of me right now? What's he looking for from my life right now? And the one thing that I discovered in that journey in the UK and Europe is he wants me, first of all, just to enjoy him, to be with him. He's not looking for my performance. He's looking for me to just follow him and love the people he puts in front of me.
The pastoral ministry is really one of the most challenging. I mentioned in an earlier podcast on this season, this whole phrase, then you've heard it at pastors' conferences, and I'm not even sure, I don't know for sure if you've ever used it. Maybe we have felt, I don't think I've ever used it, but maybe along the way I felt it until the Lord brought conviction in my heart, and that is this phrase, you know, the ministry would be so wonderful if it wasn't for the people. And I don't like that. Like, ministry is people. There is no ministry without people. I think I understand what they're trying to convey, that it's hard, it's difficult, it's tiresome, it hurts. It's that everything about walking in the messiness of people's lives is challenging, but the hardness of heart, and I don't know if it's just a cheap joke. I mean, I know over the years I've used some cheap jokes that I've changed my mind on. They are both cheap and no joke, and I've had to learn the reality of who's in front of me, and that's one of them. I know I've never used that one, but I probably have thought that at times where it's just so hard and it's so difficult, and we can't approach it with our experience. We can't lean on an understanding. And going to England really helped you say, I can't take everything that I know and bring it here into this context. I need to take what I know, submit it to the Lord, and be open to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there were things that were beneficial and were fruitful. It wasn't that everything was bogus.
Right, right.
But,
of course.
But my whole concept of what does Jesus expect of me as a pastor had to be not rethought, but just relearned.
Yeah.
And it was shocking to just be brought to the place like, you know, Lord, I was really having this mindset back when I was pastoring in the States. And like, how did you put up with that? I mean, how did you, why don't you just, you know, deal with me? And yet, God's a God of grace, and he's a God of second chances, and he hits the refresh, the restart button, and so here we are.
So how about the thinking of leaving, you know, how hard it was to take a radical step of faith, leave Phoenix, call to the mission field, get there, find out there's still a lot more for you to learn. At what age were you when you went to England?
I was 63. 62.
What was the predominant feeling at 62 to have these new lessons revealed to you, or things like almost like I should have known this by now, or why didn't you deal with this in Phoenix, Lord? And what was some of the predominant feelings for you personally?
Well, they came through a brokenness. They didn't come immediately. They came after hitting brick wall after brick wall, and then blaming people, blaming culture, blaming. And then finally, when you're at the end of yourself and ready to resign, I actually submitted a letter of resignation. I got so done with it. And then, you know, then the Lord in his kindness, he just reasons with me. And I remember walking over to the church building, and so the Holy Spirit just speaking to my heart and saying, so what's that look like when you go back to the States and people say, how come you're back? I go, well, you know, I didn't like those people then. I mean, it's like, it was so weak. And it's just like, look, if I called you to be here, then you got no business leaving. Just, you know, put on your big boy trousers and let's get this done.
Trousers.
Oh, yeah.
That's England.
Yeah. Pants in England is underwear. Yeah, yes. You don't put on your big boy underwear.
You put on your trousers. So coming back and serving with Jeannie, again, today's episode ends up taking a turn, which is really good. Because for those of you listening and serving, you know, there's a lot that Pastor Bob has to offer to us. One, that God can lead you even at 63 to take a radical step of faith like you did at 30 or at 20. And we think that, you know, you take an initial step of faith and then that's it. That's the rest of your life. But no, God can do wonderful, dynamic, risk-taking, you know, take a risk to step out in faith to obey God. Also, you know, we went to UK and experienced the fruit of the ministry there, the church that was planted, the people that were there, the community. It was different. And I was really encouraged by the ministry you probably didn't expect, and that was the Solomon's Porch ministry to all the kids, the young people that were in the college.
Yeah, that was 18 to 21-year-old internationals from smart off the charts. I don't even have a college degree. I mean, I haven't even been to college, and they're off the charts smart with biophysics and law and doctors and. But they didn't know the Bible.
Right.
And so just inviting them into the house and loving on them, giving them the opportunity to freely talk and ask questions and just caring about them, especially my wife's part in that, absolutely changed lives and changed their parents because we became the foster parents to their kids. And they were so grateful when they came over for graduation after those 3 years. So we had this other bridge of opportunity we had. And because they were young, they were able to just try things and go with us to different opportunities, whereas some of the older ones were very reluctant to do.
Right. So as we wind down today, I have a question in relation to stepping out in faith. I think that's like a word from the Lord, like a word of knowledge for those tuning into this episode, because we had planned something totally different. We're going to do another episode talking together on some topics, but the Lord's taken this in a different direction, which is really good. And it's all related to the 40-year, you sent me a link of the 40-year celebration at Phoenix, and I watched it yesterday. And it was very encouraging because if you look around us today, how many people do you know that have carried on 40 years? How many people do we have in our lives that say that this is a life that is established and steadying on and finishing well? You're not finished, but you're finishing well. And so I want to go back just to this sense of you are taking a step of faith in your early 60s. What were one or two of the things that really, really scared you and you almost didn't do it? And then what were one or two things that pushed you over the edge and you packed your bags and you're out of here?
Well, I think there's a step-by-step process he took us through. And I made this long prayer list of everything that had to be taken care of, because when you make a commitment to go into another culture, you don't toy with them. You don't just go, well, I'll try it until it works. You make a commitment, and we had to make at least a 5-year commitment. And then where am I going to store our stuff for 5 years? And I mean, all these questions. It was a page and a half of prayer requests that seemed impossible. But then the Holy Spirit would just speak and give scriptures, and it was just such an amazing step by step strengthening. Mm. To take the next step.
Yeah.
And you didn't know step two, but you knew step one was right. And so, and then when both of you are on the same page, your wife and you, you go, well, what do we got to lose? Let's just do this. I mean, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And then the Lord's saying, look, if you stay here, I'll be with you. If you go, I'll be with you. It's your call. And it's like, well, hey, if you're going to be with me, that'd just be awesome. I mean, let's just do this.
Yes.
And so, but that initial commitment to, I mean, we had to sell everything mostly and just start over. But we'd been there a few times already, so we knew God could do that. And so it was amazing.
That's good. So was there anything that you crossed the point of no doubting, or did you go even on the plane with doubts? You know, because people stepping out in faith, they think there is a sense, it depends on your personality, I think, sometimes, where, you know, if you're a more confident person, then you don't really deal with doubts. But was there a point where you, like, you just know looking back, was it on the plane? Was it when you landed? Was it when 10 things on that list? Was there a point where you're like, okay, there's no turning back, we're in?
Well, when we got on the plane, they said, Mr. and Mrs. Claycamp, please come up. And they put us in first class on the flatbeds. And so we're laughing. We're laughing all the way across the pond. I'm going, this is ridiculous. What is it? Well, the elder at the church we were going to flies for British Airways. And so he pulled strings with a pilot that was on that flight, you know. And so he said he wanted to give us an easy entry into the UK. Yeah, I went downhill from there, actually.
And sent you back on a ship. Hey, this brings us to the end of today's episode. We're so glad that you joined us. I hope you enjoyed the discussion. I enjoyed it. It's unscripted. So we just had Bob here and say, hey, let's talk about ministry. And in our next episode, we'll cover some real practical topics for you. But if you like this episode, make sure that if you like this podcast, make sure you leave us a positive review. Of course, we want to hear from you. You can always email me directly, ed@edtaylor.org, or you can text me. You can text me at this number directly, 720-608-0012. But tell your friends, post this around, get the word out. We're going to have more guests in the future, and there'll be more discussion, just wanting to learn together. That's my heart for you. I know that's your heart for me. I pray for you as you pray for me. And remember Pastor Bob, he's got such a wonderful ministry with his wife. You know, he's in a season right now where you get to travel around, encourage other pastors, help them assess their ministry. We had none of that. I mean, that's probably another, there's a whole other podcast, the Poimen podcast, P-O-I-M-E-N. If you don't already subscribe to that, definitely tune in. Because Pastor Bill there has a lot of great interviews with this ministry known as Poimen. But as for now, until next time, the Lord bless you, encourage you, and we'll be back talking about different topics with Pastor Bob next time. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Lead to Serve with Pastor Ed Taylor, a leadership podcast from Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. If you have a leadership question you want to hear answered on a future Lead to Serve podcast, please email it to pastored@calvaryco.church. And if you like our podcast, please subscribe, rate, or review us on iTunes, and share us with your friends on social media. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on the Lead to Serve podcast.